That went quick. We might ought to do that again. All right, open your Bibles to Philippians chapter 2. And we'll get into that here. Now, I heard something on the radio or the news, one or the other. I don't remember for sure which one it was. But it kind of disturbed me. And I hate when I hear trickery, basically is what it is. What it was, it took a survey. And they was asking people how they felt about their accomplishments. And I don't remember exactly how they worded the question, but it was basically asking that question. And then after they took the survey, they pointed out the fact that only 2% of the people said anything about Christ or their religion. Now, you do know and understand, in order for them to come up with that, that had to be a planned question. So it was trickery. And they do that to destroy or tear down Christ. Because I don't believe that for a minute. I don't believe that 2% of those that love the Lord would have said something about the Lord. But when a question is opposed to you in public, nowadays, with everything being politically correct, they automatically lead you to the things of the world. So when they're asking you the question, naturally the first thing that pops into your mind is your accomplishments as a teacher or whatever the case may be. Where you and I as believers know that we're nothing without Christ. Everything that we are, everything that we do, every day of our lives pertains to the Lord Jesus Christ. And it just upsets me when the world does this and they ask these type of questions. But we talked about that a little bit a couple of weeks ago, perilous times, right? And that's where we're headed. That's where we're at now, you know, perilous times. So anyhow, that kind of led me to this part of the Bible this morning in Philippians 2, because we're going to talk a little bit about the power of the church and where is it gone. Why does it seem like the church has less power today than it's had in the past? You know, used to, people had respect for the church, respect for God's house. They had respect for the people of God, and they had respect for the pastors. And today, that respect is pretty much torn down. And a lot of it, or most all of it, is our fault. Now, we like to point fingers at everything and everybody. We like to blame the world for all of our problems, because that's the nature of man, right? But our problems, and the reason for this, is ourselves. We have allowed our lights. The Bible does say, so let your light so shine before men. We have allowed our lights to be dimmed. We have allowed the world to take away part of what we are. They have silenced us through news media, through school. They have for years, the devil never stops working. The devil's on the job 24/7. And we have to be aware of that. It's our responsibility to take the torch that was given to us and share it to the world. We don't do that if our lives aren't right. If we're not living the lives that we should be living and doing the things that we should be doing as Christians, when we get out into the public, we kind of hide. We don't want to stand out in the crowd. We don't want to stand up and say, hey, I'm a Christian. Why do we not want to do that? Because inside, we know that we're not displaying that part of our life the way we should be. So by that being said, we kind of back down out of a situation where we should be standing up for the things of the Lord all the time. Folks, you've got to understand, you and I, we're not perfect. No matter what we do, we will never accomplish perfection until we get to heaven. We're stuck in these sin-cursed bodies regardless. So we're not perfect, and we're never going to be. So we need to just get that out of our mind and stop worrying about that. We're people. But being people, we're saved people. I mean, let's look at the reality of it. The Bible tells me that if I break the littlest sin, the least of all, then I'm guilty of what? All sin. So I'm no different than the drunk on the side of the street, no different than the harlot, the drug addicts. We're all sinners saved. We're saved by grace. That's the difference between us and them. So when we're living in the world may expect us to be perfect, but we're not. We know we're not. So why do we want to try to act like we are? See, that creates a conflict in itself. That's why you become a hypocrite, because you profess to be something that you're not. How about just being you? How about just being the person that God made you to be? And if you'll live for your God, then your life would be fine, and you will be a light unto the Lord for the world. We will shine. But folks, we got to stop hiding ourselves. You read about these shootings that took place in Texas and Ohio. I had somebody ask me why these people are doing these things. They have no hope. They have literally, that one boy, 21 years old, I think, in Texas, somebody said. They have given up on life at 21 years of age. Why is that? Because we have set back and allowed God to be taken out of everything. We've allowed God to be taken. They only took God out of the schools because we allowed it. You know, if we was to stand up, that wouldn't happen. And let me just say this. We have a Christian school, and thank God for it. But that doesn't relieve us of a duty of protecting our private school or our public schools. They need Jesus too. So if we take every person that's a born-again believer and we take them out of the public school and put them into a private school, who is going to be the voice for those children in the public school? Those are still growing up. They're going to be lost. They're lost souls. They're going to grow up and need guidance just like our children need guidance. And the world, the lost people, is not going to look for that guidance for them. They're not going to fight for their rights. They're not going to fight to give them the things of God, the things that are good. So that's our responsibility. And just because we put our children in a private school, and thank God that we're able to do that, that doesn't mean that we turn our back on the children that's in the public school. You understand what I'm saying? Because would Jesus do that? Is that what Jesus did? Did he come down here just certain, you know, to die for certain people? No, he died for everyone. He died for the entire world. Regardless of how cruel and how wicked they are, he died for them. And we need to remember that. And that's who we are. As born-again believers, we're supposed to be that light. We're supposed to be carrying that torch in the place of our God. The Lord Jesus is not walking the earth anymore. But he left you and I here. We get saved, he don't just snatch us out of here. We're here for a purpose. And what's happening to the church, folks, is that we're forgetting who we are. We have forgotten who we're supposed to be, what we're supposed to do. We get into a routine. We come to church because it's the right thing to do. But do we come to church to serve God? See, there's a difference. There's a difference between getting up in the morning and coming to church and coming to church to serve God. There's a huge difference. Now, let me just touch on the difference real quick. Brother Pitts would not have to be hunting bus drivers Sunday morning if we were all here to serve God. We would have 10 times the bus drivers that we need, which would be a good thing, because then a couple of them could get a day off every Saturday once in a while and wouldn't have to be dedicated every Saturday. But we have to hunt bus drivers if somebody's sick, because we're not here to serve God the way we ought to be. And we don't want to hear that. As a people, we don't want to hear that. We have a lot of people. I'm 85 years old. You're alive. You're breathing. Serve God. I haven't seen anywhere in here where it says stop serving God when you get 85. It doesn't say that. How old is your pastor? He's still serving God. How tired do you think your pastor is? He's been serving God for many, many years, preaching Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night, and in between times, funerals, weddings, special events. How tired do you think your pastor is? But he continues to serve God. He has to get up every morning and push himself to do that which he needs to do for the Lord. He comes in here and encourages us to serve God. Who's encouraging him? Who's holding him up? You read the story of Moses. Remember, he had to have his arms held up in the wilderness. He was tired. Our pastor needs that too. And that's our job. You know, we can support our pastor, first of all, by being here. Not listening on the radio. God bless you. If you can't get here for reasons and you're listening on the radio, praise God. But outside of that, you need to be here. You need to be serving God in his house. You need to be supporting your pastor right here. You need to be doing all that you can do to serve the Lord. Folks, we're getting to the point to where we're like zombies or something. We just do, but it's like we've forgotten why we're doing what we're doing. If you work here, then I hope you don't come to church on Sundays because you feel like you have to. Because that shouldn't be the situation. You should be coming to church on Sunday because you love God and you want to serve him. You want to be in his house. And if you're not employed here, you should be coming to church to get something from God every Sunday morning, every Sunday night, Wednesday night. But we have more. We don't have time for God. We got time for the television. We got plenty of time for TV. But we don't have time for the things of God. It can be inconvenient to come to church sometimes. I'm not real sure about it, but I don't think it was a convenience for Jesus on the cross. He suffered greatly. And we're going to read a little bit about Paul here this morning. And remember this as we go through here. Paul suffered greatly for the cause of Christ. And this is what Paul is going to be speaking to us about. And what the things that he's talking to us is where we need to be in our Christian life. This is where we as Christians ought to be every day. So with that being said, I want to read 4 or 5 verses to you out of chapter 2. And then we'll go back and look at what we've read. Verse 1, if there be therefore any consolation in Christ, if any comfort of love, if any fellowship of the Spirit, if any bowels and mercies, fulfill ye my joy, that ye be like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord, of one mind. Let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem other better than themselves. Look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. If we was to study this and just live what Paul was asking us right here, we'd be much better Christians. Now think about the very first thing. If there be therefore any consultation in Christ. You understand what he's talking about right here is comfort. If there be any comfort in the Lord Jesus. Somebody that's in distress and they're comforted, they feel better. How about you when you got saved? Did you feel comfort? Did you feel better? You know, sometimes we say, like, I feel like I had a burden lifted off of me, or I had a house lifted off of me. So what Paul is saying here, if there be any consultation, any. So us as believers, is there anybody here as a believer that can't say that they've ever had any comfort in the Lord? Because if you can say that, you're probably not saved. Because if you love the Lord Jesus and you're a born-again believer, there's going to be some comfort there. So with that being said, any consultation in Christ, if any comfort of love, this is a state of being. This is where you feel relaxed, isn't it? You feel comfortable in the situation. Fellowship. What does it mean to have fellowship in the Lord? What does it mean to have fellowship? It says, if any fellowship of the Spirit. What is fellowship? That's where a group of people seek the same things, isn't it? That's where we come together as a group and we socialize with one another. Well, we're supposed to have fellowship with God. We're supposed to have fellowship in the Spirit of the Lord. And it goes on to say, if any bowels and mercies. When it's talking about bowels, it's talking about, you've heard of something called the bowels of the ship. That's the inner part of the ship. When it's talking about bowels here, it's talking about the inner part of us, our innermost being. That's what it's speaking of. Mercies. Kindness, forgiveness. How about a judge when, if somebody had to go to court and the judge would lenient, instead of giving somebody 10 years, he'd give them 2 months? That would be having mercy. How about our God? How about our God? Has he shown mercy on you and I? Has he given us mercy? When he sent the Lord Jesus to die on that cross, he gave mercy to all of us, didn't he? He gave his grace and his love and his care for each and every one of us. So if we have consultation, if we have fellowship, if we have bowels and mercy, then what Paul was saying is if you have any of these things. So just remember that as we move on. If you've ever experienced any of these things from the Lord, it says, fulfill ye my joy. So if you've ever had any of these things, then Paul is saying, fulfill ye my joy. And how do we do that? Listen to what he says. That ye be like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord, of one mind. Fulfill ye my joy. So what Paul is saying is, if you've ever experienced any of this, then fulfill ye my joy. In other words, we need to complete his joy. We need to have the same love, having the same affections towards him and towards our brethren that God has shown towards you and I. So think about Paul's situation, the sufferings that he's going through here, and the things that's going on, and he's talking to us here now. And he's telling us that if we've ever enjoyed any of these things, then we, like Paul, should give that back. See, Paul in all of his sufferings continued to serve God. Paul was given of himself for who? The brethren. Paul was given up his personal life for the furtherance of the gospel, so that you and I today can sit here and read God's word. He put self aside and he served the Lord. So with that being said, folks, if you and I were to have the same mind, it says being of one mind. If you and I had that same mindset, what would we do Monday morning? How would we serve our God Monday morning? Would we serve him a little different? We're supposed to have one mindset. And folks, that can be dangerous. Think about that, one mindset. And I say that can be dangerous. Let me put it to you like this. We have one leader. That's our pastor, correct? So if we all have one mindset and we follow our pastor, then we're supposed to have the same mindset that he's got. Because that's what Paul's saying. Paul is telling us here that we should have the same mindset that he has. Our focus should be the same, focused on the same things that Paul's mind is focused on. So with that being said, we're supposed to have the same focus as our leader. And with that being said, that can be dangerous. Now, I thank God that we've got a good leader. I thank God that Dr. Carter is our leader. And I thank God that he's like Paul. His mindset is the same as Paul's. His mindset, he's on the same wavelength here as Paul is. He's got his mindset on the things of God. He's got his mindset on the brethren. Folks, if he didn't love you like he loved the Lord, he would not be here. He comes in here and serves God, and he serves you as your pastor because he has the same focus that Paul has right here. His focus is on the things of God. And folks, if you and I carried that same focus, let me ask you a question. Do you think Dr. Carter is any different this morning, wherever he may be? I know he's off preaching somewhere this morning. Do you think he's any different this morning than he was last Sunday when he was here? No. How about Monday? No. Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday. He has the same mindset every day of his life. His mind is focused on the things of God. And Paul is saying this is where we should be. It says, if there be therefore any consultation in Christ. So if you've ever had any consultation in the Lord Jesus Christ, then your mindset should be the same as Paul's. This is where we're failing as Christians. See, we come to church on Sunday morning. We come to Sunday school or come to church and then Sunday night. Some of us come back on Wednesdays. But then the rest of the week, we get up Monday morning and the first thing we're focused on is the job. And it's okay because we have to work. We have to make a living. But why can't we go to work with this same mindset? We don't have to hate our work. We need to work. But we can still have the same mindset. We should be focused on the things of Christ. How much better would our day be every day we was focused on the Lord? And we work in an evil, wicked world. But we don't have to be part of that evil that's in the world. Folks, when we go to work on Monday morning, people need to know that there's something different about you. Think about something. When Jesus walked the earth, was he different? Sure he was. And we're supposed to be Christ-like. We're supposed to be Christ-minded. So if we were living and doing the things of the Lord, then when people see us, they would see us like they saw Christ, wouldn't they? We'd all have the same mindset. But what we do is we hang our religion and we hang our faith on the hook on Monday morning and out the door we go. And we go into the world and we serve the world rather than serving God. And there's nothing wrong. We have to make a living. God tells us to make a living. He tells all of us to make a living that we can help our brethren. We should be concerned about the things of God for every individual. You understand that according to what the scripture is teaching us right here? We are supposed to love one another. I'm supposed to love you. You're supposed to love me. I'm supposed to have concerns for you. You know, let me put it to you like this. I'm concerned as to whether or not I have air conditioning Monday morning, okay? I'm spoiled. I love the AC. Well, I'm supposed to be concerned as to whether or not you have it as well. It's not supposed to just be all about me. Jesus was concerned about all of us. He gave his word to all of us. His love he gave to all of us. And we're supposed to give that same love back. And folks, I'm sorry, but as Christians today, you go out into the world, you cannot stand outside anymore and look at and say, "This Christian, that's a Christian, that's a Christian." Used to, you could. So what's happened to America? What's happened to the church? What's happened to God's people? We've become lax. We've stopped focusing on the things of Christ. We've lost the unity of mind when it comes to the Lord Jesus. We're not focusing on the things of God. We're not fulfilling that joy that Paul is talking about. Paul is talking about, "Fulfill ye my joy." Paul has joy in the Lord. And what Paul is talking about here, "Fulfill ye my joy," he's telling us that if we were to do these same things, to have the same love for him and the same love for our brethren as he has for us, then you would fulfill his joy. Paul is telling us that all we have to do is be Christ-like. See, Paul was being Christ-like. He was serving God. He was suffering for the cause of Christ. And Paul is telling us here, "You want to fulfill ye my joy? Suffer with me." That's what he's saying. He's saying, pick up thy cross. Serve the Lord. Have the same mind. Have the same bowels and mercies. Have love for your brethren. Folks, we don't do that anymore. I remember just growing up as a little boy, people, when they come to church, you could tell they loved each other. They truly loved one another. They were concerned about each other's families. And many of them wouldn't have survived without help from each other. But where's that brotherly love today? See, I see perilous times coming. I see perilous times that we're living in. How about turn with me to Revelations. I want to look at something right quick. I know y'all have probably read this 100 times. Pastor's probably taught it many times. Go to Revelations chapter 3 in verse 14. And unto the angel of the church of the Laodiceans write, these things saith the Amen, the faithful and true witness, and the beginning of the creation of God. I know thy works, that thou art neither cold nor hot. I would thou wert cold or hot. So then, because thou art lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, I will spew thee out of my mouth. God's talking to the church right there. He's talking to the Laodicean church. This is the last church age. Folks, that's the church age that you and I live in. But we don't have to be that Laodicean church. We can't change the time that we live in. We do live in the Laodicean church age. But we don't have to be part of that church. We can be part of the good church, amen? We can be part of God's house. Folks, what he's saying here, what it was saying in Revelations there, is that we're not a cold church. We're not a hot church. What's a cold church? That's a church where people just go through the motions. They come to church on Sunday morning. They come to church on Sunday night. Maybe Wednesday night. They come and go. Doors open, doors close. And that's it. There's nothing happening. There's no unity. There's no love. There's no sharing. There's no gospel. They're not out knocking doors. They're not furthering the cause of Christ. They're just a cold church. And then what's a hot church? That's a church that's on fire for God. That's a church that's, they're not just coming and going, they're working. Like little worker bees. They're busy. They've got their mindset on the things of God. They're in one mind, one accord with the Lord. That's a hot church. But we're in a day and a time that we're not living in a hot church. We don't have the cold church. We got a lukewarm church. So God said he spews us out of his mouth. Makes him sick to his stomach. Folks, I don't know about you, but I don't want to be part of that church. I don't want to just come in and sit on a pew today and just say that I'm here, be lukewarm for the Lord. If you're lukewarm for God, then you're not in one accord with Christ. Christ is not lukewarm. Christ was on fire for God, amen? And so was Paul right here. And that's what Paul is telling you and I, that you and I are to be Christ-like. We're to be have the same mind, be in one accord with the things of God. Now, how can we do that if we're lukewarm? But that's why when you go out into the world today, that's why people can't tell the difference from a lost person and a Christian. You go into the average home, they're watching the same TV shows as the lost people, listening to the same music. Now, folks, you ain't fooling me now, because I hear a lot of things. I know. 90.3 gospel, amen? Amen, good station. I wish that everybody here would listen to it. Some of us don't. We're not listening to God's music. We're listening to the world's music. And that makes a difference in your being. Because when you're doing that, you're not like-minded. You're not linked with the Lord Jesus Christ at that time. And folks, listen to me. Listen to me. This is so important. When we allow these little things into our lives, every time, let me just give you a simple example. Rather than listen to 90.3, we listen to whatever station it is. We listen to another station. That part of your life at that time, you just shut God out of. Okay? You just took him out of the picture and you brought in the world. And who is the prince of the world? Satan. So you've just allowed Satan in that little segment of your life. It's the same with the television. It's the same. You've got the television, the radio, the workplace, the dress, the way you dress, the way you talk, every little part of your life, every aspect of your life. Every time that you lose sync with God here, then you've pushed God out of that segment of your life and you've allowed Satan in that part of your life. So at the end of the week, how much of your life has been for the Lord? And then we can't figure out what's wrong with our churches. We can't figure out why we can't pack the doors like we used to. We can't figure out why, when you turn the news on, everything's wicked and evil. We can't figure out why, when they took this survey, it was 2%. It's because we're not like-minded. We don't have the focus that Paul had here. We've got focus on self. See, I've got a golf game I need to attend to on Tuesday. I'm going fishing. I'm going hunting. Or whatever the case may be. And these aren't bad things. Don't misunderstand me. I'm not saying it's a sin to go hunting or fishing. I'm not saying that. I'm saying that when you put it before God, it's wrong. You know, you have to, the Lord tells us to make a living. So we have to go to work. We have to do all these things. We have to have family time. But we need to make sure that these times are set up, that they're linked with God. We need to have the same focus that Paul had here in every aspect of our life. If we want to see our churches blossom, we want to see the old America. Folks, look, I'm not that old. I guess, you know, some of the youngies might not agree. I'm not that old, especially when you compare myself to America. But I can look back just as I was a child. And it sickens me the difference that I've seen in my short time on here on this earth. I mean, I can't believe the changes I've seen in the last 20 years. I'd have bet my life on 25 years ago that would never, ever happen in America. But it's happening. And it's happening because we are not linked in with Christ. It's happening because we don't have that same like-mindedness. We're supposed to be like-minded with Paul here, which is like-minded with the Lord Jesus Christ, which is what? The cornerstone, the head of the church. He's our head. He's who we're supposed to be following and worshiping, is the Lord Jesus. So folks, let's not point fingers at the world. Let's look at ourselves, because it's us. It's the church itself. And we don't like to hear these things. We don't even like to talk about them. We'd rather just come in and go, and just leave me alone. No, we don't get better. We don't become better Christians unless we look at what God's word is truly telling us. And when you read these things, and if you break these words down word for word for word, and just look up a dictionary definition of them, which is not always 100% correct, but just that in itself will help you to see what Paul's focus is here. And the main focus is the Lord Jesus. And folks, that's where we need to be. We need to turn our lights on before God. We don't want to be part of that Laodicean church. We want to be a hot church. We want to be a church that's on fire for God. And if you're not serving God, do something to serve the Lord. And a lot of us, I know some of us aren't able to physically do something, but being here is doing something. Amen. Being here, you're like-minded. Being here, you're linked in with the things of God. You're supporting the Lord. Men, you're supposed to be the head of your household. Your family ought to be here. If they live in my house, they're coming to church. It's just that simple. If they're visiting me, they're coming to church. Or they're staying in a hotel. If they're coming, you know, what did Joshua say? As for me and my house, we shall serve the Lord. And that's the stance we need to take as born-again believers today. We need to get back to that. Every one of us need to go home and stamp that on our door. As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. That's where we need to be as Christians today. God bless you. We're out of time. We'll take about a 10-minute break and...